Parshas Lech Lecha, when we were discussing the mitzvah of Bris Milah, we pointed out the machlokes Tanoim Chulin Da'afuf Mudbeis between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim regarding the mitzvah of Gir Hanasha. Who were the first who were obligated, right, in this mitzvah? Rabbi Yehuda tells us, Halo Mibnei Yaakov Nesar Gir Hanasha. Rabbi Yehuda maintains that this of Gir Hanasha was given to Bnei Yaakov, as you find in the Shabbos' Kriya Sator. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda states a tremendous chiddush la'alacha that the Isra of Gir Hanasha not only applies to a behema tahora, but even applies to a behema tameya as well, because when the Isra was initially given, it was given regarding all animals. And the Chachamim disagree, maintain that it's not true, that this Isra of Gir Hanasha only applies to a behema tahora, but not to a behema tameya, an animal that otherwise you could eat. Then there is an Isra of Gir Hanasha. An animal is Asra Bachila in its entirety, behema tameya, so then there's no additional Isra of Gir Hanasha. What do you do with Rabbi Yehuda's argument that what do you mean that already this was given to Bnei Yaakov? So the Chachamim answered that no, Misinai Nemar, Ela Shenichtav Bimkom. Misinai Nemar, Ela Shenichtav Bimkom. So Rashi explains that the Shita of the Chacham is the following, that Bnei Yaakov were not admonished regarding the Isra of Gir Hanasha. That was given to us in Har Sinai. Why is it recorded in Parshas Vayishlach? Simply, that is the Tam HaMitzvah. Why is it that we were given Isra of Gir Hanasha to commemorate what happened in the Shabbos' Kriya Satorah? That we are the ones who are obligated in this Mitzvah of Har Sinai. The Rambam in Pirush Mishnayos disagrees. The Rambam maintains that no, even according to the Shita of the Chachamim, there was a Tzivui to Bnei Yaakov, but our observance of Gir Hanasha is not based on that sivui, but rather nitzna Torah v'nischad shu halacha, and therefore for us, the concept of ein iser chal al iser. But as Rashi simply explains, that there was a machlokes tanaim, whether Gir Hanasha was given to Bnei Noach, or whether in fact it was not. When you look at the sugyan chulin and the sani aleph, omen aleph, there the Gemara tells us the following, that Rabbi Yossi bar Chanina is troubled by the meaning of the Pasuk in Parshas Mikes. When it comes to Yosef, who meets with his brothers in Mitzrayim, so Yosef states, Tavoach, Tevach, Vahachem. He's to prepare a Suga for his brothers. And therefore, Tavoach, Tevach, Vahachem. What does Tavoach, Tevach mean? Here, Rabbi Yosef Rachinina says, it means Parlahen Beis HaShrita. It means perform a Mais HaShrita in order that they can partake of that Basar. And what is Vahachain? Rabbi Yosef Bar Chanina is Doresh that Tul Gid Hanasha Bifneyem. Make sure to remove the Gid Hanasha. So the Gemara comments that Kimanda Omar, Gid Hanasha Nesar, Livnei Noach. This drasha of Vahachain, ready the meat for the purpose of Achila, in order for Achi Yosef to partake. Obviously, that's assuming that the Bnei Yaakov already had the Isser of Gid Hanasha. So Tosos there in Chulin Daf Tzani Aleph is bothered by the following difficulty. Why is that such a clear raya? Just because the Pasuk says, Tavoach Tevach Vahachem. We know that the Gemara in Yuman Daf Toches tells us, Ekev Asher Shama Avram Bakoli, that Avram Avinu is Makayim Kolot Harakula Kodem Shinitna. And Tosos assumes that obviously this was not limited to Avram Avinu, this applied even to the Shiftei Kah as well. And therefore, just because they engaged in refraining from Gid Hanasha, how do we necessarily know that this was a chiyu? How do we know that Gid Hanasha was ne'esar libnei Noah? That is Tosus's kasha. And furthermore, Tosus intensifies the kasha. What about shrita? Certainly, there was no mitzvah shrita when it comes to Bnei Noah. And the very drasha of Avyos Rachina, Tavoach Tevach Vahachein, Shrita and removal of Gid Hanasha. What are you going to say about Shrita? Obviously, that was Eina Mitzuv Yosef. That was because the Shiftei Kah or Makayim Kol HaTorah Kula called them Shinitna. So once you have to assume that that's true regarding Shrita, so isn't that clearly the case when it comes to Gid Hanasha as well? So therefore, Tosos questions, how can the Gemara prove from here at all that Gid Hanasha Nesel Ibnei Noah? Tosus writes some more technical terrors, and Tosus suggests the following, that maybe it's the term in the puzzle that is the indicator. If the Pasuk just simply said, remove the Gid Hanasha, okay, maybe that was Batoras Inimutsu V'Yosef, but the Lashon HaKra is V'Hachein. V'achein seems to indicate that ready the basar la'achila, because as of yet, the basar is asur v'achila. So Tosa says that v'achein mashma d'balav hachi lo mutin. That's the finish that Tosa writes. That's the diuk of the word hachein. Teva, teva, one could go either way. Just perform shrita. Mitzuviyose, enu mitzuviyose. V'hachein, the fact that this is necessary for the hechsher achila, that seems to indicate that that is considered to be, right, the Torah's chiyuv. When we discussed in the earlier shiurim the status of the avos and the fact that there were mekayim mitzvos even before matan Torah, we pointed out the chiddush of the Maharal that's found in Gur Aryeh, where the Maharal writes in Parshas Vayishlach, an interesting chiddush, that perhaps there's a difference between mitzvos asei as opposed to mitzvos lo asei. In the question the Maharal deals with, and that is, right, what the Ramban discusses, another Rishonim at length, how is it possible for Yaakov, you know, to marry Shtei Achayos? Isn't that considered to be in Iser Erva? Maharal suggests a fascinating chiddush, and that is, perhaps, there's a difference between mitzvos asei as opposed to mitzvos lo asei. When it comes to a mitzvos asei, one could envision a concept of eino mitzuveh va'oseh. The Ramban writes in Parshas Yisro and Aseres Hadibros that mitzvos asei, they stem from the midas ha'ava. Right? When a person wants to show a sense of love, a sense of endearment, the person will do more. And therefore, that is mitzvos asei. One could envision a kiyum asei, even if it is eino mitzuviyose. Is that necessarily true when it comes to an iser lo asei? In Yisrael also say, the Ramban writes, is machma sayira, right? You have to refrain from that is considered to be a dvar avera. If a person is not bichlal ha'avera, is there a kiyum of eino mitzuva v'yose regarding isurim? All the examples the Gemara gives us, for example, Kedushin of Lamed Aleph, of mitzuviyose, eino mitzuviyose, is referring to mitzvah sasei. Women, who even though they're exempt from lulav sukkah shofar, will go ahead and opt in. Do you find, right, that one can opt into a lo asei that one is exempt from? So that's the chiddush that the Maharal writes, that without a tzivui, you don't find a concept of an eino mitzuva v'ose. With this, the Maharal suggests to answer Tosas's kasha nidan of samach aleph. We discussed this not so long ago, that the Gemara mentions the case of a beged she'avod bo kilayim. Let's assume, for example, that you're sewing a garment, and you're sewing it out of wool, and you knew that on the side of the table was a piece of linen. All of a sudden, a strand of linen, right, became part of the weaving process, and it's not detectable. There's no way you're going to go ahead and find it. So the Gemara says the following. Obviously, a Jew can't wear it, and the Gemara writes a chiddush that hareza lo yim kerena la'akum. You can't even sell it to a guy, because you'll sell it to a guy, but the guy might flip it. He'll sell it to a fellow Jew. And there's no way you're going to be able to detect that this is a beged shel shatnas. So what do? You have to destroy the beged? No, the Gemara says that osim eno tachrichin lemeis. Make it into tachrichin. Because after all, once you're going to use it for tachrichin, you don't have to be concerned that someone is going to end up wearing this garment. Once it's tachrichin lemeis, that certainly is not going to be used by others, and therefore, that is the purpose of a beged shel kilayim. So Tosus is very bothered. And that daf and nidan of samach aleph, are you allowed to go ahead and do so? To take something that is asur, there's an isur levisha, I can't wear it, so I'll drape it on a mace. Isn't there a problem of loeg l'rash? That's the sugi menachos and daf men aleph. That if a person is a mace, true, a mace is chavshim in hamitzvos, but is it appropriate literally to mock the mace? I'll sit there and I'll learn in the presence of a mace. Isn't that a form of a loeg l'rash? The context of the Gemara is tzitzis. It's inappropriate to mock the mace regarding the mitzvah of tzitzis. So we wouldn't put, right, necessarily, again, a four-cornered garment, right, on a mace without tzitzis. It's as though loy l'rosh. We're mocking the fact that since he is a mace, and a mace is chavshim and a mitzvos, you don't have to worry about the mitzvah of tzitzis. Only we have to worry about that. So in other words, Tosus is bothered. Why is there a difference between tzitzis as opposed to kilayim? So Tosus gives two different terutzim. One Tosus says, in Rabbeinu Tam, a very great Kiddush, that, you know, tzitzis is the exception. That's not the rule. There's something unique about tzitzis. Tzitzis is shkula k'neged kol ha-mitzvos. The reason also, uscharten. So tzitzis is supposed to be reminiscent of kol mitzvos Hashem. So that's why the Gemara B'daf is makbid on tzitzis as loeg l'rosh. But Tosus writes, in Rabbeinu Tam, a Kiddush, that it doesn't apply when it comes to other mitzvos, say, or other mitzvahs. Losa is saying, therefore, there's nothing wrong with the beged of kelaim on a mace. And then Tosos quotes the Kiddush of the Rashbam, where the Rashbam writes a separate teretz that, wait a second, in order to violate the Isser of Shatnez, you need Hanos Levisha. That's the Kiddush the Rashbam develops based on the Gemara in the very beginning of Yavamos. You need Hanos Levisha. In principle, if you or I were to wear a beged without Hanos Levisha, we also would not violate the Isser of Shatnez. Well, the Gemara discusses, for example, the ninth parak of Kalayim, Mokriksus, a person is modeling clothing. Is he allowed to wear a beged of shatnez? He doesn't have hanas levisha. He's doing it because this is his job description. Right? It's the middle of the summer. It's very hot out. He's modeling the winter line. In such a case, if there's no hanas levisha, so Rabbi Shimon says that that's mutter. Or the Gemara in Bava Kama Daf Kuf Yud Gimel Havrocha Sameches. Right? When you go through the customs, they don't charge you for the clothing that you're wearing. So can a guy go ahead and wear a beged of shatnez? He's not wearing it for Nas Levisha. He's doing it to avoid taxation. So that's what the Mishnah in Klein Perites discusses in terms of Klein, and the Sigi Bava Kama Kuf Yud Gimel in terms of when you're allowed to avoid paying taxes, the concept of Dinim Malchus Adina. That's also what the Mishnah describes. Havracha Sameches or Mochrik Sus, that's not called Hanas Levisha. So technically there isn't necessarily an Isser of Kilayim. So the Rashbam writes, I'll give you a third example, where a beged is worn without Hanas Levisha. Not only Mochrik Sus, not only Havracha Sameches, a mace. If a mace is wearing the garment, there's no Hanas Levisha. The Chihai Gavna, there's no Isser of Kilayim. So that's the teretz that the Rashbam gives. That's why it's not considered to be Lohek L'Rosh. It's not that he is violating an Isser. It's only because he's Chofshim and Mitzos. There is no Isser at all. Those are Tosos is two fascinating truths and two discussion. Interesting that the Maral suggests the following. Just as when it comes to the concept of Eino Mitzu V'Yose, there's a difference between an essay as opposed to a Los Essay. Here Maral suggests an interesting Chiddush. Maybe that also is true when it comes to Lohek L'Rosh. Lohek L'Rosh, when it comes to a Kiyum essay, that's considered to be Lohek L'Rosh. When it comes to an Isser that one is not included in, then there's no concept of Lohek L'Rosh. Right? The Kiyum Mitzvah Tzitzis, right? That's a Bechina of Avas Hashem. That's what the Ramban writes. The Ramban writes in the Kiddush that the reason Essay del Chalos essay is the Mid of Ava is able to push aside the Mid of Yir. That's what the Ramban writes in Parshas Yisro. Mitzvah Sasei, we're saying to the Niftar that you are deprived from that opportunity of a Kiyum essay, that's Lohek L'Rosh. But Isurim, that one is not included in, right, then there is no such concept. And that's the Chiddush Maral writes when it comes to the Avos from Mekayim Mitzvah Sasei, not necessarily were they Mekayim Mitzvah Lo Sasei, and in such an instance, so therefore, we can justify Yaakov, you know, marrying Shtei Achayos. That's a great Chiddush, the Maral writes. The Rashi in the beginning of the Parsha, V'Taryag Mitzvah Shamarti, sounds like that Avos from Mekayim, Taryag Mitzvahs, Taryag Mitzvahs meaning Mitzvah Sasei and Mitzvah Lo Sasei. If one were to subscribe to this Kiddush of Maral, perhaps one could suggest that there is a difference between Shchita as opposed to Giranosha. Giranosha is Nisrolav. And Shchita is an essay, Bezavachta, Kasher Tzivisicha. Maybe that could serve also as a difference. That an essay one could envision Betoras Eino Mitzuviose, a mitzvah Shchita, a mitzvah Shchita, Berchas HaMitzvah, so therefore, Tavoach Tevach, that I understand. There could be a concept of Enimut Zubiyose. But when it comes to Gid Hanasha is alive. In Issa, that one is not included in, you don't find that Enimut Zubiyose, if what the Gemara writes is true, so perhaps Raymond cannot Sugin Chulin, where the Gemara proves that if Gid Hanasha was included by Achain, it must be Gid Hanasha Nesa, the Bnei Noah. Mashain Kain, if it's just Shita, but perhaps it's Betoras. None doubt it is still a Chiddush. Lo Shita Maral is a Chiddush. And Shchita also is an added Chiddush because Shchita we don't necessarily treat as a classic mitzvah essay. Tzitzis is an essay. Tefillin is an essay. I understand. Is Shchita really a mitzvah essay? Tosas writes in Shuas and Achav Dalet that Shchita is not really a mitzvah essay. Tosas says there's an Isser essay of Eino Zavuach. That if a person will eat, right, Isar Nevela, in addition to violent lava of Nevela, he's Mevatel the Isser essay of Eino Zavuach. Right, it's not a classic Kiyum essay, right? In the normal sense, right? It's not an added kima mitzvah for the shochet to do so many shchitos one right after another. And therefore, again, even if you suggest the structure of the maral, it's still a chiddush to distinguish between shchita as opposed to the isra of gid hamash. So how else then could you resolve this ha'ara of Tosfos? That what is the difference between shchita and the mitzvah gid hanasha? Why is it that Tosfos assumes you wouldn't have gid hanasha b'toras eino mitzuva ba'osin? Perhaps one could suggest a possible teretz in light of a chiddush of the Rambam. The Rambam Hilchos Machalos Asuras, Perek Ches Halacha Hei, the Rambam writes the following. We paskin, like the sheet of the Chacham against Rabbi Yudas, I began, that Gid HaNasha only applies to a behemoth Tahora. It doesn't apply to a behemoth Tameya. Only an animal that otherwise you could eat, then the Torah says, but don't eat the Gid HaNasha. An animal that in its entirety you cannot eat, there is no Isra of Gid HaNasha. Good. So the Rambam writes the following. Ha'ochel Gid HaNasha shel behema v'chaya Tameim. What happens if you eat, right, the Gid HaNasha of a behema Tameya? The Rambam writes, potter, no malchus at all, zero, no malchus at all. Why no malchus at all? So the Rambam writes the following chiddush. There's no Isra of Gid HaNasha because eino noeg b'tameya. Because Gid HaNasha only applies to behemoth Torah, doesn't apply to behemoth Tameya. Yeshiva Sachachamim, very good. Yeah, but good, so there's no Isra of Gid HaNasha. But you should get malchus for behemoth Tameya. So the Rambam writes, no. Ve'eino ka'ochel mishar gufa. It's not as though you're eating from the besar ha-behema, where Nevela's Nisr Malkus or Tameya's Nisr Malkus, because the Rambam writes, She'ein ha-gidin b'chlal ha-basar. Because what is the Gid HaNasha? It's sinew, it's a nerve. Al-pidin, that's not called basar. So therefore the Rambam writes, if you will eat the Gid HaNasha behema Tameya, no Malkus whatsoever. There's no Isra behema Tameya, nor is there an Isra of Gid HaNasha. There's no Isra Gid HaNasha because Gid HaNasha only applies behema Tahora. There's no Isra behema Tameya, because the gid is not considered to be basar. The lashon ha-gemara in chulin adaf tzari beis is etu. Gid HaNasha is like a piece of wood. V'rachmana asrasa. But the Torah says you can't eat it. But it's not something that classically we would have assumed is bichlal ha-achila. So there's no iser tameya when it comes to gid. Ein beginim at no same time. That's what the Rambam writes in Perches Halacha Hei. The very next halacha, Perches Halacha Vav. The Rambam writes the following chiddush. Let's assume you have a behema tahor, and the behema tahor just dies without shchita, just died. And you eat the gid hanasha of that nevela. So you eat the gid hanasha of nevela, eat a gid hanasha of a treifa. So you know what here the Rambam writes? Chayim Shtayim. He gets two sets of malchus. You get two sets of malchus. I get one malchus for Gid HaNasha. That's this for Gid HaNasha. Good. And then the Rambam writes the following Kiddush. Well, once it's called Achila of Gid HaNasha, so now also you will get malchus for the Isra of Nevela, for the Isra of Treifa. Very great Kiddush. The Ram has the two extremes. Now, Gid HaNasha behema Tameya is nothing, no Malkus. In Gid HaNasha of Nevela are two sets of Malkus. So how do you understand that? If there's Nisra Nevela, why shouldn't there be Nisra Treifa of behema Tameya? How do you understand that distinction? So if you look in the Achronon, the Mefarshi HaRambam, the Shah HaMelech in Hilchos Machalos Asuros, the Or Sameach in Hilchos Machalos Asuros, the Plati writes, right, in Simon Samachay, they all give the same terms. And that is Rachmana Ach Lachi Losa. Once there's an Isser Gid HaNasha, you see that the Torah labels this as Achila. Once it's labeled as Achila, that's not only relevant for Gid HaNasha. Once it is called Achila for the Isser of Gid HaNasha, therefore, it is considered to be achila for shari surim as well. So in a behema tamea where there is no gidon asha, there is no isur, so we revert back to step one. Eitzu, rachmanos rasa. When it comes to gidon asha behema tahora, al karchav, there's nisra gidon asha, which means this gidon asha, the Torah posits nisra achila, once it is considered to be bechmal habasa for the isur of gidon asha, the same thing applies when it comes to the isur of nevela or trefa as well. That's the concept of Eitzu, v'ha-Torah asrasa, but once the Torah creates the Isser, so in such a case, that extends to the Isser Nevela, extends to the Isser of Trefa as well. When the place he quotes this Hiddush, that you see from the Rambam, the extreme, zero or two, the place he raises the following kasha. Because if you look at the Gemara Chulin and Daf Peites, this Olamda seems to be against the Gemara. Because the Gemara says the following, Ha'ochel gid hanasha shamu kadoshim. You have a behema sekdash. And I eat the gid hanasha, right, of that behema. So the Gemara writes that in such a case you get a single malchus, one set of malchus. In other words, you violate Isra of Gidon Hashem, but you don't violate Isra of Mukadoshim because the Gid is not Bechlal Vasa. So what do you mean the place he writes? It's a Gemara Mefureshes. That you have a case where we split, you're only Chayav once. Gidon Hashem of Mukadoshim, there's only a single set of malchus for the Isra of Gidon Asha, even though there's no Isra of Mukdashim. So you don't say that, well, once you get Malchus for one, you get Malchus for the second. So why is it? Apparently you have three halachos. Gidon Asha of Nevela, two sets of Malchus, and Gidon Asha of Mukdashim, one set of Malchus, and Gidon Asha of Behemoth Tamea, no Malchus. Well, why should that be? Even a further interesting Kiddush, when you look at that Rambam that I just mentioned, Machal Zazuros, Perches HaLachavav, the Rambam writes that if you eat the Gidon Asha of Nevela, or you eat the Gidon Asha of Trefa, you're going to get two sets of Malkas, that's the Rambam we just discussed. The Rambam adds the third case. Nevela, Trefa, the Rambam says, O Shel Ola. If you eat the Gidon Asha of a carbon Ola, you get two sets of malchus. So, there's two difficulties. The Rambam says, Gidon Asha of Ola, you get two sets of malchus. Isn't it against the Gemara? The Gemara just said in Chulin Daf Peites that Gidon Asha Shel Mukdashim is like one set of malchus. How does the Rambam say that Gidon Asha Shel Ola, two sets of malchus? Question number two is the following. Why does the Rambam pick on Ola? No? The Rambam should simply say, Gidon Asha Shel Mukdashim. That's the only case you can envision. It has to be a carbon Ola. What's so special about a carbon Ola? The Rambam should say, Gidon Asha Shel Mukdashim, Lo Kishdai. Okay, we'll still have the Kash, it's against the Gemara. But why does the Rambam express uniquely when it comes to a carbon Ola? So perhaps one could suggest the following Kiddush. The Rambam writes, when it comes to Gidon Asha Behemoth Tameya, that's it, that's not called Achila, no Malchus whatsoever. Gidon Asha Shel Nevela, two sets of Malchus. Because once you violated the Isser Achila, for Gidon Asha, so how can you argue that it's not called Achila when it comes to Nevela? It's the same Isser. The Isser Achila of Gidon Asha, the Isser Achila of Nevela. So that's what we say, Rachmana Asha Vela Achilasa. Why does the Gemara say in Chulin Daf Peites that Ha'ocha Gidon Asha Shel Mukdashim, there's only one Isser? We don't say, oh, since it's an Isser Achila as far as Gidon Asha, it's considered to be Achila Ni Mukdashim. So Paul Shepshat, one has to add the following Kiddush. When do you say that that's true? When do you say that it's achila for A and therefore necessarily it's achila for B if you're dealing with two isurei achila? two Isra Achila. In Isra of Achilas Yidnosha, and in Isra of Achilas Nevela. So how can you distinguish and say it's Achila for A, not Achila for me? Rachmana Achshav Alachim also. Hoshrim Shat, the Chidush of the Gemara, according to the Rambam, is the following. That's not really true of Mukdashim. Is Mukdashim really an Isser Achila? Here the Isser Mukdashim is an Isser of Mi'ila. But I'm Chayim because that's even an act of Gezen. I abuse that of Nechshei Shamayim. But in Lamdus, Mi'ila is not necessarily an Isser Achila like Nevela, or an Isra Achila like Trefa. In Poshab Shad, that would be the Chiddush, according to the Rambam, that when you have two identical Isuri Achila, that's where, how can you split and say, it's called Achila for A and not Achila for B? But if you have two completely independent Isurim, whose nature is so different, one is an Isur of Mi'ila, the other is an Isur of Achila, so that's where the Rambam apparently assumed that you don't say, Midi da havi achila hai, havi achila hai. So Boshab Shat, that's the Rambam. It's understood that Gemara Chum, Dal Peites. What do you do with the Rambam's example? The Rambam says, Ochel Girin Ashel Ola, we were bothered. Why does the Rambam say Ola? Ola Ishtayim. Here Rav Asher Weiss pointed out the following Chiddush. If you look in the Mishnah, in Perek Yud Aleph of Hilchos Maisa Karbanos, here the Lecha Mishnah just points out, and it seems clear according to the Rambam, if a person goes ahead and consumes a Karban Olam, how many Yisurim are there? What Yisur does he violate? In Lecha Mishnah just points out, Pashur Pshat the Rambam, that aside from the Yisur Me'ila, Mukdashim, isn't there another Pasuk? Doesn't the Torah tell us in Vayikra and Perek Vav, Karban Olah, Kolo Tehiyah, Lo Se'achel? The Torah is a separate Isser. That a Karban Olah, right, is Kulo Kadosh, Agabe Mizbeach, there's an Isser Achila, Lo Se'achel. You don't find that when it comes to other Karbanos. That there's a love of Achila, you have an Isser of Mukdashim. But you don't find, with the exception of Ola, that there's an Isra Achila. The Chiddush then here is the following, that in this respect, a Karban Ola is like Nevela, is like Trefa, that there's an Isra Achila. And once this is considered to be Achila for the Isra of Gira Asha, there's Achila when it comes to the Isra of Ola as well. And if the Ram is not at all against the Gemara, the Ram does not quote the Gemara's case of Mukdashim. Mukdashim in Achinami, there's only one set of Malkus. Hashem came in the case of Ola. This Chiddush means the following, that if I didn't have the Isra of Gidon Asher, I would have argued the Isra of Gidon Asher is impossible. Because Eitzu, Gidon Asher is something that is not Ra'il Achila. If there is no Isra of Gidon Asher, for example, when it comes to Behema Temeya, there's no Malkus whatsoever, because this is not called Achila. That's the Lashon HaGemara, Eitzu, Bahatora Asrasa. No? So based on this Yiddish, perhaps we'll give Miyashir, right, that Kashuv Tosus. Right? Yosef HaTzadik insists that you have to remove the Gin HaNasher. The Gemara says, you see from here, Commander Amar, Gin HaNasher Nesla Benoach. Why can't it be Batoras Inamatsuvi Yosef? Perhaps one could suggest that Yiddish. That if without the Tzivui of Gin HaNasher, this is not something that's Royal Achila. Eitzu, Brachman Asrasa. Without the Isra of Gidon Asher, it is not something that is Royal Achila. Then you can't envision that, you know what? It should be Yasser B'Toras Eino Mitzuva V'Yosef. What we discussed in earlier Shiurim is there are certain cases where the mitzvah is Koveya, the Chaloshe Misser. Without the Isser, you can't envision an Eino Mitzuva V'Yosef. Because without the Isra of Gidon Asher, this is something that is deemed in a Royal Achila. This is not Basar. It is only the Tzivui that creates the Isra. And in such a case, you understand very well that you cannot have it, Betoras, Eino Mitzuv, V'Yosef. We pointed out that clearly there are certain mitzvahs that depend. When we discussed Bris Milah and Parshas Lech Lecha, the whole Chiddush was that the mitzvah Bris Milah is Kovei L'Chalo Shem Arel. Yerushalmi writes that Kodim Yom Shmini, the child is not considered to be an Arel, meaning without the Chovas HaMilah. In such a case, right, then you cannot speak about an Eino Mitzvah V'Yosem. Perhaps that's true when it comes to the case of Gidan Asha as well. So maybe that's part of the Chiddush again of the Rambam Shita in that regard. Gidan Asha is somewhat unique. You can envision, right, Nevela B'Torah Senim Mitzvah V'Yosem, because the Basar is Ra'il Achila. That's called Achilas Nevela. Without the Isra of Gidan Asha and such, that would not necessarily apply. We discuss this when it comes, for example, right, to the case of Ishus, that maybe without Ishus of Yisrael, there's no Isra of Shtei Achayos, and that's why Yaakov was able to marry Shtei Achayos. Sometimes you require a certain Isra, a certain structure, in order to go ahead and to create, right, that particular pasim. When the Gemara stresses that the Avos from Akayim Kol HaTorah Kula, right, Kodem Shenitzna, the Meshech Chachma points out here in Parshas Vayishlach that the Makoros and Chazal give different examples regarding Avram Avinu and that of Yaakov Avinu. That Gemara in Yumad Av Chafes, Ekev Es Hashem Avram Bekoli, that's where the Gemara writes that Avram Avinu's Makayim Kol HaTorah Kula, even Ad Shlo Nitzna. And the Gemara writes, even mitzvos drabanan such as Eruvei Tavshilim. Even Eruvei Tavshilim. The Sugin Yom Adav Chavches. Regarding Yaakov, you know, you find similar midrashim. Here the midrash writes that Yaakov, you know, was Kavatchumim. Kavatchumim. And Parshas Vayishlach, the Torah tells us that Vayichan es Pnei Hayir. That Yaakovina saw to it that they demarcated the boundaries of the city. The Midrash Rabbah writes, what does that mean? That Nichnas be'erev Shabbos and Kavat Chumim. So the Meshech Chachma writes, it's interesting, that Chazal assumed that Avram Avinu, Yaakovina, but different examples are given, right? Erev Tavshilin as opposed to Erev Chumim. So Meshech Chachma writes, what exactly is indicated by those differences? Why would the Gemara mention Eruv Tavshilim regarding Avram Avinu and Eruv Tchum regarding Yaakov Avinu? So the Meshech Chachma beautifully explains that there was a marked difference between, right, the Avram Avinu as opposed to Yaakov. Avram Avinu was the one, Es HaNefesh Asho Asu B'Choran, and Avram Avinu was always the one who tried to impact globally on others. Right, Vayita Eshel. Right, Rashi quotes the Gemara in Sota. Right, the Eshel, the Hachnasas Archim of Avram Avinu. Right, either it was a Pundak or a Pardes, the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel, all for the purpose of bring others in, exhibiting Hachnasas Archim in order to be Mashpia and others. Meshech Chachma writes that that's why Chazal specifically chose as an example Eruv Tavshilim. Because you know the Sugyam Sachem Dav Mevav, the Gemara is very bothered that how does Eruv Tavshilim work? If it's really forbidden min HaTorah to do Malacha from Yantav to a Shabbos, so how does Eruv Tavshilim work? Eruv Tavshilim is only Drabah. So through this device, through Rabbanan, you can matter an Issa Daraisa. If there really is an Issa Malacha Daraisa of Malacha, Miyantav the Shabbos, Eruv Tavshilim would not help. That would be called an Akiras or Minator B'Kum Esay. So the Gemara writes, as you know, Ein Achinami. Min HaTorah, it must be mutter to do Malacha from Miyantav to Shabbos. Why is that true? So Rabba says the Matir Daraisa, the whole secret to the Sugi Eruv Tavshilim is the principle of Hoel. Hovil. Hovil, the Eitlarch and Chazilei, Hashanami Chazilei. What do you mean I'm cooking on Yantif for Shabbos? If guests were to go ahead and come to my door, wouldn't I share everything that I have with these guests? Wouldn't I engage in Hachnasas Archim? And therefore, la halacha, you're really cooking on yantif for yantif. Because of hol v'ikor arachem chazile. In fact, Tosos writes a chorma, when Ram quotes a skamar la halacha, tavkuf chavzayin, that's my very tavshidin. When Ram quotes the chorma, that Tosos from Sakhnaf Mem Vav, that even if you have an erev tavshidin, you can only do malacha early enough on the day of yantif that you can utilize the food on yantif. Let's assume, for example, a person will put up a chont at the very end of yantif, and you'll have the tchilas vishul, but it's not something that you would eat right now. So Tosfos writes, that's forbidden min haTorah. You don't have oil. And erev tavshidin will not help you. Everything that you're doing, even with an erev tavshidin, has to be done early enough in advance that you can label it as malacha for yantif. And then by extension, you can utilize it on Shabbos as well. Magen Avraham even writes in that siman of Erev Tavshinin, Tavkuf Chaf Zayin, that there was a minhag, whenever you have an Erev Tavshinin, to daven early that Shabbos. Like, why would they do that? Because if the women know you're going to daven early, they're going to know that you have to do the hachana, right, very, very early. If the men are going to shul very late, you know, the women may say, we'll take a nap in the afternoon and we'll start getting ready for Shabbos. The Maariv is so early, so they'll start the hachana early in order to cover oil. So therefore, the Magen Avraham writes, the minhag of davening early, when you have a yantif and Shabbos back-to-back, and every tavshilin, and he writes, is rooted in that particular practice. Interesting chiddush. Bal yisod, every tavshilin, according to Rav, is the concept of hol v'ikla erachim chazilei. That the Meshech Chachma writes, that was the nature of Avraham Avinu. V'ita eshel, the hafnasas archim, es hanefesh ha-shoosu v'choran, hichnis and tachas kamti hashchina. So that's why the Gemara chooses Erev Tavshilin. That's a mitzvah Rabbanan that personifies the character of Avraham Avinu. What about when it comes to Yaakov? Here the Meshech Chachma writes a very different hashkafa. Yaakov Avinu is not the one, right, who is the model of global outreach to the Umos HaOlam. The concern of Yaakov Avinu, and no doubt his Golus experience, right, was always to go in and to insulate the Shiftekah. Here, Vayichan es Pnei Ayir, to be Kovei HaTchumim, right, up until here, but not beyond. When the Shifteka were to go to Mitzrayim, to make sure that they live in Eretz Goshen, separate from, right, Mitzrayim. That's Vayichan es Pnei Ayir. Kabbalah Satorah, the Meshech Chachma writes, Vayichan Sham Yisrael. But we recite in Minchan Tefillah Shabbos, Yaakov Avonav Yanuchu. Right, always a sense of, right, insulating from the hashpah of the Umos HaOlam. And the Meshech Chachma points out that it wasn't a marked difference in hashkafa as if this was a machlokes, but really simply a realization that this was a different stage in the development of Knesset Yisrael. Avraham Avinu was the Ivri. He was alone. Avraham Avinu's mindset was is that he had to spread the Dvar Hashem. Yaakov Avinu was zochet to give rise to the Shifteka. His challenge was to preserve, right, the Kedusha of the Shifteka. And therefore, always on guard, right, to make sure that the Hashpa would in fact be an appropriate one. You know, the Beis Halevi comments, again, this Parsha, that in the tefillah of Yaakov Avinu, Hatzilenina miyat achim miyat Esav, why the double osher miyat achim miyat Esav? So the Beis Levi points out that there was a twofold fear of the confrontation of Yaakov and Esav. One was a physical threat. The Pasuk says, Vayistom Esav es Yaakov. Esav achicha misnachem lachal ragecha. He was going to attack. This was a physical threat. Right? But also, as the Beis Levi emphasizes, there was a greater fear that Esav caused, and that was perhaps he would preach brotherhood. Now, Nisav Ne'echad Alchon Nagdecha. But let's walk together. Walk together. Seeming in the spirit of fellowship. Right, the Medrash writes the following. What was the request of Esav HaRasha? To walk together with Yaakov Avinu, the Midrash writes, "Shishtate fimo b'shtei olamos," to be able to share, right, Yaakov Avinu's olam haba together with Esav HaRasha. That already was a challenge in the plane of brokenness. And therefore, Yaakov Avinu was mispal Takadosh Baruch Hu hatzilenu nam yad achim Esav. This lady explains of those two threats, right? The one of assimilation, it is far more significant, far more serious than one of overt confrontation. And therefore, the first tefillah was miyad achi. Miyad achi means, if my brother comes and preaches brotherhood, right, and attempts to walk together with me in that spirit, that was the real fear, right, of Yaakov. And then secondarily, miyad Esav. Esav will come as Esav, son es Yaakov, in a more confrontational manner. This was always the mindset, right, of Esav Rasha. And this was the concern of Yaakov. And therefore, just as in that episode, that was the concern, the insistence on Yaakov, you know, that they spread paths, that they go in different directions. Yaakov, you know, was Kovei Atvumim, right, to make sure again that the Kedushas Yisrael is something that would be, right, intact, is something that would remain pristine. If you look in Sefer Achinuch, the Sefer Achinuch in Mitzvah Gimel, the Mitzvah of Gilan Asha, the Sefer Achinuch emphasizes, right, again, the Shoresh HaMitzvah, that what is Gilan Asha supposed to represent? And that, the Sefer Achinuch writes, right, is the confrontation, right, of Yaakov Avinu with Esav and Sarah Shel Esav. And the Sefer Achinuch explains, Mishor She Mitzvah Zu, Kidei Shetia Remez Li Yisrael, Afal Pi She Yisvilut Soros Rabos Magalos, even though that our future, right, is one which will be replete with tzaros, the experience of golos, but nonetheless, you betuchim shlo yoveid. But the haptocha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us that we will endure. We will be able to go ahead and to, right, experience, right, chayrus. V'yavo lehem goel v'yigala miyad tzar. And just as it's true that Yaakov Avinu was injured, right, as you find, right, that's the purpose of Gidon Asha, but ultimately, right, he emerged victorious. And that, no doubt, the theme of the Haftorah, Sefer Avadia, Vlumoshim Haritzion, Nishbara Saresa, Vaisal Hashem Hamlucha. Right, that's the message of Yaakov, you know. Right, the message that, even in terms of the plight of Golos, the integrity of Knesset Yisrael has to be retained. It's true that suffering will occur in Golos, but nonetheless, there will be that sense of, right, the ultimate emergence of the Zer Avram. And the Sefer Achinuch writes that Kamo Shematzinu Ba'av Shuzarch Lo Hashemesh Lurfuasa, that just like the sun then shone after that night, right, and Yaakov in was healed, so therefore Kin Yizrach Lano Hashemesh Shemashiach Lurfainu Mitzareinu Vigaleinu. So the same thing is true in terms of the destiny of Knesset Yisrael. Yaakov Inu, right, was somewhat unique in the sense that Yaakov Inu experienced, right, Nevuah Balayla. Nevuah always is Bayom. But Yaakov Inu, right, had Nevuah even Balayla. Even in the Choshech of Laila, the Cheshkes HaGolos, right, nonetheless, Yaakov Inu experienced the Dvar Hashem. It's not coincidental that Yaakov Inu was the one, of course, the Sugim Brachos, at Nachavav, who's Masaking Tfilas Arvis. Right? Mariv is the Tfilah Balayla. Right? That was the Nevuah, right, of Yaakov Inu. That even Becheshkas HaGolos, one can experience, right, Hashuas Hashinu. Right? That was the very nature of Yaakov Inu. And it means that the Golos could be at times something which is enduring and something which no doubt is difficult, right? As experience, right, from the injury of Yaakov Inu, together with the Sarah Shel Esav, but ultimately, right, that's what is reflected in the midst of Gidon Asha, that ultimately prevailed. There's a fascinating comment that the Zohar has in this Parsha. It's found in Parshas Vayishlach, and the Zohar, it's found in Dav Kuf Ayin Amud Beis. The Zohar writes a fascinating Kiddush, doesn't give us the whole list, but the Zohar writes that there are Shisa Mitzvos Lo Sase, 365 lavim. And the Zohar writes that there are 365 days to the solar year. And the Zohar assumes a fascinating Kiddush, that there's a direct correspondence. That each day corresponds to a particular losas. So the Zohar writes. It's not coincidental, right? That there's Shesol Avim and there's Shesol Yamim of Shnas Achama. That's what the Zohar writes. The Zohar doesn't give us a whole list, but the Zohar gives us one example. One example. And that's the example of Giran Asher, right? For example, the Zohar writes that Giran Asher, that is the Issa that corresponds to the day of Tisha B'Av. That's the Zohar's Kiddush. Tisha B'Av. So that Lachor is exactly right, this message, right, of the Sefer Achinuch. The Tisha B'Av, no doubt, right, is the day that we commemorate Churban HaBayis, the experience of Golos. The Isra of Giran Asher, as the Sefer Achinuch writes, reminds us that Golos is just a temporary state. Right? That we see in Yaakovinu, that Yaakovinu no doubt suffered pangs of Golos, suffered physical anguish, but nonetheless, ultimately, right, Yaakovinu was victorious, right, in his battle with Esav HaRasha. And that is all right. That's the message, right, of the Isra of Giran Asher. And that, no doubt, is Karlai Moed. That's the silver lining of Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av has elements of Moed because we recognize, right, that Golos, even though it seems dire, is something which is a temporary state, and that ultimately, right, there is time of Yeshua. So that, no doubt, is the mindset, the Zohar writes, when it comes to the day of Tisha B'Av, and that's the correspondence that Tisha B'Av, right, aligns with the Issur of Giran Asher. These were part of the Tchunas Nefesh, right, of Yaakov. Right, the Golos experience, right, the need to go to Mitzrayim, the beginning of the Shibud of Golos Mitzrayim, right, but all of which are mixed, right, with that sense of Yeshua. Right, we, in retrospect, right, are able to understand. Sometimes in life you experience, right, something that seems to be Yisurim, and only later in life, right, you realize that now that you know what, that redirection, that was all the toilets. Right? And therefore, in retrospect, we can see why that's true. That's what the Medrash writes about the Shibud Mitzrayim. And the Beis Levi discusses this at length in Parshas Peshalah. When Bnei Yisrael experienced Shibud Mitzrayim, it was Avodas Parach. In retrospect, when we see that Shibud Mitzrayim was the catalyst to, right, Tzias Mitzrayim, the Nisim and Iflos, Kabbalah Satorah, we understand, in retrospect, why all of that was necessary. That's what the Ramban writes in the very end of Parshas Bo. Right? That Tzias Mitzrayim serves as that to realize that everything is a result of Hashgachas Hashem, and Koma Dabar Rachman is Latava. Right? Sometimes we're blinded, right, by immediacy. Right? Always judge something by the here and now, because our vision is very focused and our vision is short-sighted, and sometimes we don't see the broad picture. We only see exactly that which is before us, right? And the need for real Kabbalah Samach L'Shamayim is to recognize that there's so much that we don't see, and then everything, right, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is Koma Dabar Rachman L'Tava Ova. Rosh Weiss once said, the name of the Kleisenberger Rebbe, that's why you have to cover your eyes during Kriya Shema. Not simply because of Tosefes Kavanah. But part of Kabbalah Samach L'Shamayim means, as the Ramban writes, right? The perspective that everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is L'Tov. And even if a person experiences in this limited window of time that which he thinks is a measure of Yisurim, that no, ultimately this is all part, right, of the Ratzon Hashem. This is all part of Hashgachas Hashem. And if we were privileged to that divine breath of wisdom, so we would understand why everything would in fact fall into place. And therefore, that's why it's necessary during Kabbalah Samach L'Shamayim, literally, to cover your eyes. It means that you have to close your eyes to that which is seen immediately before you, in order to recognize that the vision, Kaviyach V'Kadosh Baruch Hu, is far broader, and therefore, we're just simply not privileged to know exactly, right, every state. You know, the Pasuk, in fact, says that when Yaakov Avinu went into Golos, Yaakov Avinu was quite afraid. Right, he's going to leave again Eretz Yisrael and go to Mitzrayim. That was going to be the beginning of the Shibud Mitzrayim, the fulfillment of Brisman of Asarim. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Al Tered Merda Mitzrayim. Don't be afraid. And the Apostle says something quite unusual. The Yosef, Yashis Yado Aleinecha. Right, that Yosef will place his hands over your eyes. It's unusual. What exactly does that mean? Right? Yaakov Avinu is being rest assured that don't worry, right? Your eyes will be covered. What exactly does that mean? Perhaps that's exactly that message, that when a person only sees something with a sense of immediacy. Yaakov Avinu is leaving Eretz Yisrael, right? He's going to Mitzrayim. So that's a sara. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu consoles Yaakov by saying that no, that Yosef HaTzadik will cover your eyes. If you look beyond that which you see, which is immediately before you, like the Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim, right? And you'll see, and this will be the fulfillment of Bris Ma'amasarim, V'achar HiNetzer B'chush Godol, Kabbalah Satorah, Eretz Yisrael, Amanimchar. In such a case, then you see that everything was considered to be Latov. That's part of the lesson that we glean from Yaakovina, that the Chinuch writes is the lesson of Gid HaNasha, that even if there is temporary suffering, but there's ultimate Geula, right? And that, the Zohar writes, is the correspondence of the Isra of Gid HaNasha with the experience that we have of the day of Tisha B'Av. So both in the Halach and Hashkaf, in the Sugya of Enes or Chal Isra, right? Rambam Shita, but even in terms of the Hashkaf HaSator as well, the Isra of Gid HaNasha is something which is paramount. We understand very well that why that was one of the few mitzvahs that, if not given before Kabbalah Satorah, was at least recorded before Kabbalah Satorah, the Machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham of Nitna Torah Benischat Shemalach. Okay.